Let's go into the world. Thank you, Father, for your spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for that riches of liberality and glory and grace that you've bestowed upon us. We do declare and decree that the word of truth is taught with accuracy and boldness this morning. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. We decree that ignorance is being dematerialized this morning in the name of Jesus. At the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ and Him alone is glorified. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're looking at investigating scriptures, right? I think before we can, let me say something else. I was in a group. I was with a group of people, and they broke the news that the virus, what do you call the coronavirus, is not in Nigeria. You know, and the next thing they just said is, thank God, God answers prayer. I said, wow. Let me tell you something. He said, someone did a tweet and said, Corona is not in Nigeria is a proof that God loves Nigeria. I say, what of the malaria that has been killing us? You see, that is why we're investigating scriptures. You know, there are scriptures to back up this thing. You have scriptures to defend these things. Well, look at it. Corona is of the devil. Anyhow you want to put it. But that Corona is not in Nigeria is not a proof that God loves us more. No. It's just that we've at least been trying to be careful at least more. Oh wow, that's a proof that God loves. You see, that's why I like Nigeria. That's why I don't want to travel abroad. That's a proof that it's because you have good job. I tried to call the first thing I tried to think about was their salary. I said, this they are paying them well. I like Nigeria. They should close the border. Someone said, Nigeria, I don't know what's wrong with this minister of earth. They should close the border. Nobody should call me. I said, ma, it's because all your family members are iniquity. If your only mother, imagine my mom is abroad and she wants to run and come to Nigeria that is safe, and I'm praying they should close the border. We pray prayers that are not just because it's covetousness. Is selfishness. So that means because all your family members are in Nigeria, me that have siblings that brought down to travel, they should cruise the border. See wickedness. And that person goes to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. You see, that's why we investigate. See, when you investigate scripture and see scriptures for yourself, you realize that there are a lot of things you think you are promising yourself. That I've heard people say, you heard about people say, you know, if you ask some people, how does miracle money happen? You know, people that always say miracle money. Have you heard people say miracle money? You know what miracle money is? Miracle money is that money that comes miraculously. Yeah, that money that suddenly appears. They asked one man of God, explain how miracle money works. You know what he said? He said the angels of a living God goes to accidents after the people crash and takes their money and brings it to... I'm not lying. No. A man that gathers close to thousands of people every Sunday and people are shouting, yes, I preach. I'm not saying they told me, but they say. He say angels will go and he called the angel of rescue. Angel of rescue. He goes to accident. Angel of the living God that cannot save a human being. Accident is happening, he did not save the accident. He waited for the thing to happen and started going to search their pocket. He said, Yahoo angel. angel that cannot save life, but he's saving money for someone. So angel is seeing somebody dying. Die. I want to give that man of God your money. Just because of covetousness. And the easiest scripture they run to. God said, Jesus went to go and say they should bring that money from the fish's mouth. That's where Oceanic Bank started. You see, 10,000 shall fall. You see, this epidemic, pray in tongues. Yeah, we are preserved. Nobody's saying we're not preserved. We are preserved, right? But doesn't change the fact. That's why you see we don't take certain testimonies. We don't take testimonies in gospel because testimonies don't happen. This is why they come and say, I thank God Corona has not come to my family. Thank God God kept my family. It simply means that the people that Corona went to, God did not get their family. That's the truth now. You see, we say some things indirectly without knowing what we are saying. How can you have an accident and 30 people were in the bus, 29 of them, that only did not die? Your testimony is 10,000 on my left, 1,000 on my right. They shall not shall by any means come. And all of you, you are the same pastor as your... All of you in the bus.
It's the same pastor you listen to.
Yeah, so about Corona, don't be scared about that. Don't be, you know, some people will create a topic out of series now. They will do sister series now. The epidemic of the world. Investigating scriptures, you know, we've looked at a couple of things in scriptures and seen the authenticity of scriptures. We've looked at a few things about how scriptures talks about the New Testament and Old Testament books, and how the Old Testament books seems to serve like mystery, but their interpretation are found where? In the New Testament book. So if you have confusions in the Old Testament book, you clear your doubts in the New Testament books. Yeah, you clear your doubt in the New. So if you have any doubt concerning anything in the Old Testament that looks bleak, that looks like a gray area, what do you do? Where was this explained or something similar explained in the New Testament books? You know, the New Testament books are about how many books are in the New Testament? 27? 29? Is that true? How many books are in the Bible? 66. Old Testament are 37 books, and New Testament are 29. Is that true? 9 plus 7, yes, 16. I think I got it. Okay, but that's not in 963. But you see that it looks like the New Testament books are smaller than the Old Testament books. Is that not true? In case you don't know, how many are the New Testament books bigger than the Old Testament books? If you separate your Bible and put Genesis to Malachi on this hand and put Matthew to Revelation on this hand, which book will be bigger? And that's what they are just saying now. Yeah, so the Old Testament books are bigger than the New Testament books. But the explanations of the so many things in the Old Testament books are seen in those few books in the New Testament. Yeah, you know, we've gone through that already. We spoke about the several aspects of studies in the Bible: theology, Christology, pneumatology, bibliology, soteriology, eschatology, ecclesiology. We explained that last week, and we emphasized that what? Scriptures must be hinged around Christology. That Christ is the bias of scriptures. Christ is the basic of scriptures. Yeah, we spoke about biblical hymnotics. We spoke about how the Bible is divided into two categories. Can someone remind me? The Old Testament and the New. Don't think I'm asking a complex question. It's simple. Yeah, the Bible is divided into how many categories? The New and the Old. You know, we further divided the Old into some segments. Is that true? What did we say about the Old? They are classified into what? The beautiful, the law, the and the. Beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. So that's good. We also spoke about the New Testament books. They are divided into two segments. Is that true? Yeah, the first one is what? The four Gospels. Is that true? Yes. What did you write it as?
So, like,
there are four segments in the New Testament?
Yes.
Okay, remind me. Acts. Romans to Jude, the Revelation. Okay, beautiful. Yeah, so the idea of that. So the same way you can divide the Old Testament into law of Moses, the laws of Moses and the prophets, it is from part of the prophets we get the Psalms. Do you understand? So we divided Psalms out of from the prophets. What I mean is that when Jesus first of all explained Luke 24, he said what? I'm beginning at Moses and the prophets. He expanded unto them. He ended at Moses and the prophets. When Jesus now spoke in Luke 44, what did he say? He now said, beginning at saying the same thing that Moses the prophet wrote, the Psalms the prophets wrote, Moses the prophet and the Psalms, what they wrote. Yeah, so basically, the Old Testament actually, yeah. So we said that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John speaks about, they are the synoptic gospels. They speak about the physical things that happened to Christ. Is that true? Yeah. While Acts shows what? Beautiful history of the church. That is to show that that is showing God indwelling man. Yeah, the greater works that the apostles and disciples were doing. We now said Romans to Jude were what? Epistles. Yeah, in the real sense, Revelations 2 is an epistle because he wrote it to churches. All together, yeah. So you can. But now, there's something that I'm sure I could have said last week. Remember, I said something that the proof of learning is what? What is the proof of learning? Proof of learning is thinking. Do you remember that? Remember that? Yeah. The proof of learning is what? Thinking and not beautiful and not excitement. Yeah. Is it wrong to be excited in the church? No. But that you're excited doesn't mean you are learning. But for me to know you are learning as well. See, that's why I always say when I go to a place to teach for the first time, for me to know that they are learning what I'm saying, I listen to their questions afterwards. Yeah. Because I try to say certain things in a way that it will make you think. Yeah, so I tried to listen. We had a meeting at Buari yesterday, and you know, I did the same thing, just the same thing. My conversations I'm teaching for about an hour, 20 or 30 minutes, was to channel their thought system to think. So I know when you begin to ask some questions, I know you are thinking. when you begin to ask some questions about what I'm teaching, I know that, oh, you are thinking. Bring your questions. Let me see how you're thinking through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah? You know, people ask questions. Why is pastor teaching on investigative? Why is pastor, why pastor just come and just remind me about God's love and just say, God loves you. He loves you. No, we don't come to church to be doing parable. You now pose, you now snap you, you now flood Instagram. No. We are to be students of the word. We are to be students of the word. You know, like I said, it couldn't have been words of encouragement that Paul was giving, that they wanted to kill him. Look at it. Why should I be encouraging and you want to kill me? I mean, what Paul and Peter and those apostles were saying were beyond natural human comprehension. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, so see 1 Peter 3 verse 15. First Peter, the first epistle, Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Can we read verse 15 together? 1, 2, 3, go. And be ready to do what? Be ready to do what? Be ready to do what? Be ready to give an answer. Is that what the Bible says? Yeah? Have you confirmed from the Bible in your hands? Is that what it says also? Give and what? For what? The hope. Do you know what that means? You should labor so much in the world and be a student of the world to the point that anybody that wants to confront why you have hope in the resurrection, you can explain. Is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? What does it say? It says, be ready always to give. How can you be ready if you are not well taught? How can you be ready if you are not well taught? You know, I was sharing yesterday about how the reason why a lot of Christians cannot preach to atheists is because of not being taught properly. Because an atheist is logical and he will ask you questions that will floor your Bible. You see, humanly reading the book of Genesis has lots of omissions and it doesn't make sense. Yeah, if you read the book of Genesis, you remember I gave an example yesterday. When God said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, who was the father and mother of Adam? That your breath was, he has come again. Yeah, who was the father? Is it in the Bible, Genesis 2? A man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. Okay, who were the people who were existing? Remember, they were talking about cleaving. That means Cain and Abel were not born at the time. So, who were the fathers and mothers? So, if you read Genesis, who they came married? Is in the Bible? We don't see records of that. So, a man that is not well thought, when he confronts a thinking, you know, I said something, atheists are not found in Nigeria. The ones we have here are people that are facing economic depression. I say, me, I'm telling you. It is. The word came from nothing. I went to school. The word, everything came from nothing. That alone flaws your logical system. I can say everything came from nothing. It simply means that we can be preaching in church one day. Nothing will just produce somebody behind Bratemi there. We now call him Brother Alex. So when they ask you questions, the gospel's vision is to build men that are sound that can comfort anyone to preach the gospel. Why do you have hope in the resurrection? Why do you believe that there's something called second coming? Why do you believe that the saints will rise again? It's not by singing, I believe in God, our Father, I believe the saints coming. No, it's not only by that. Why do you believe it? Can you explain why you believe it? Yeah, so that's why we're investigating scriptures. That we might be ready always to give an answer to every man that accepts question or the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why do you believe in eternal life? Can you explain from scriptures? Yeah? Why do you believe in eternal life? Can you explain from scriptures? Think about it. If Christ said we should go out and preach the good news, is that not the instruction? Yeah. What is good about the news that says that, my brother, come and receive my own Jesus, so, but I'm not sure where you'll be on the last day. The person now that's an unbeliever now asks you, sorry, Oga, when you finish living all this your life and do everything, where will you now go to? You now say, I don't know. It's like advertising long reach toothpaste. You now gonna meet somebody and say, use this long reach, it's very beautiful. Person now asks, what's the color of the toothpaste? You say, I don't know. I want the person to be a stakeholder in your company. You should know long reach toothpaste in details. Why? So that everyone that asks a question, you are ready to give an answer. Same thing with your faith. Same thing with your faith. A Calvinist, a universalist can ask you, Adam's sin made everybody a sinner. How many of us can explain that? You know what I mean, when we're grown up, we used to make, you know, our devotion. Lord, I'm a sinner. And you're born again, you say you are a sinner. You now want to go further, you say, because of one man's sin, everybody became a sinner. In fact, look at it in logical sense. The word sinner, is it not a verb? You know, is it not a noun for a person that does the verb? Abi? Who's a thief? A thief is a person that stole. You have to stole. Yeah. You have to stole before they call you a thief. Simple English, that means you have to sin before they call you a sinner. That simply means Adam's sin did not make you a sinner. No. It will mean that every man that was born of a woman is a sinner. Is that not true? Is that what we say? Well, I'm a sinner because a sin my mother conceived me. No, I read in context. How can I say it's in sin my own conceived me? And you are thinking it is that your mother gave birth to you as a sinner. Even the direct child of Adam and Eve, Hebrews 11 4 shows us that. Look at Hebrews 11 4. By what? By what? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than who? By which he obtained witness that he was what? He was what? What does the Bible call Abel? What does the Bible call Abel? Did the Bible call Abel sinner? That means Abel, direction of Adam and Eve, was not called a sinner. Then you that you are the greatest grandchild, you are now a sinner just because your mother gave birth to you. No. But how do you explain it from scriptures? People will ask that question. Everyone look at me. It simply means that if everybody that is born of a woman is a sinner, that means Jesus too was a sinner. Yeah? Okay, look at it. So, and the scripture now says, so if Jesus was a sinner, why does the scripture now say he became sin? It simply means he was not a sinner. It simply means there was a time he took on that nature. There was a time he took on that personality. Yeah, so not every man. So what did Adam's sin do? We're going to study it in this series. Adam's sin set a pattern for other men to follow. Just the same way Abraham's faith set a pattern for other men to follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we do study and try to investigate scripture so that we can be ready to give an answer. Can I have three people just come out? Three people, example, Brashegun, both of you, just come out quickly. Listen carefully. Everyone, listen carefully. Don't lose track. Listen carefully. This, my brother, had £3,000. This, my brother, has £5,000. This, my brother, had £10,000. Who has more? Who has more? Him, right? You see, we just simply fail the test. We don't pay attention to details. See what I said. He had £3,000. He had his past tense. That's details. He had £3,000. He has £5,000. He had £10,000. Who has more? See the question I asked. Who has? That is details. Can I see how we just easily? That's how we should be deliberating Bible study. Everybody, don't always think of the highest number. I did intentionally. 3, 5, 10. You pay attention to details. I said he had. Yeah, he that has 5,000 has more than he that had 10,000. Is that true or not? Simple English. You see, look at it though. We all, at least the youngest person here, should let's assume you are 15. Simply means that at least you should have spent at least 15 years in school, at least. Yeah? Yeah? So, it simply means that you must have gone to at least a classroom where they said, okay, even if it's not classroom, you shall know how to speak English. Yeah? But look at it, though. A very simple example, the point was missed. Yeah? Go back. There's a point from that you write in your notes. Write this in your notes. In Bible study, have an attitude of patience. In Bible study, have an attitude of patience. In Bible study, have an attitude of patience. Yeah, you can write that patience and put bracket long suffering. In Bible study, have an attitude of patience. Look at neighbor and say, calm down. I say, look at your neighbor and say, calm down. Yeah, in Bible study, we calm down. We calm down. It's not buru-buru to the answer. No, it's not quickie. It's not quickly. We should calm down in Bible study. Okay, should we do another test? Oh, let's do another test. A man sends an email to his wife. Okay, I say I should put the mic well if I'm so you can hear me. Okay. In short details, I most important. Can you hear me? Beautiful. A man and his wife. Did you hear that? Don't be used. You're asking the question. You want to write the question? Okay. See this. A man and his wife are very close friends and they are very rich. We are very rich. Yeah? We are very rich. See how they are following. They don't want to lose track. We are very rich. I travel to the US and she travels to Dubai. Yeah? I'm getting you confused already. Yeah? But follow. I traveled where? To the US. Be careful of details. I put D before US. I traveled to the US. Don't say I traveled to US. D. Yeah? So, I traveled to where? Beautiful. That's fine. Yeah. I traveled to the US and she traveled not to the Dubai, but Dubai. Yeah? Is that fine? She walks into a mall and she sends me a message. Honey, you're speaking Dubai. Okay. She said, honey, I saw this ring. I think it's high time I want to change my wedding ring. The price of this ring is $50,000 in the mail, and she sends it to me. Now, I went to the US and I went for a meeting. So, because I was fast, I replied quickly. Let me tell you the reply. Write it down in your note. N-O. Calm down. Write the reply in your note. N-O. P-R-I-C-E. No. P-R-I-C is a different word. Don't be too intelligent. Yeah? M-O is a word. P-R-I-C-E is another word. T-O-O is another word. Then H-I-G-H is another word. What did I say? You remember I said I was in the meeting and I rushed to reply. No punctuation. I said, No punctuation, nothing. I just said, no, price too high. No intonation. No. As my wife, what should you read?
No price too high. No price too high. You're rich, no price too high.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. Rich is relative. You know, we are all rich. You are laughing at yourself or at me. We are all rich. I went to the Dubai. Okay, for me. That guy saying riches is relative. Yeah. What if is a member that sponsors me to go to Dubai? My wife went to boss. Okay, to enter more. No, I didn't say she's buying it though. She went to the hall and she saw it, and she replied me and said, and I said, no, price too high. What happens if the money she thought I had in my account, I spent it for a contract in my meeting in the US? Yeah, see the point. Can you see how a single comma confused all of us? There are two answers, there are two ways you can read it. My wife, now knowing that I easily forgive, can edit that message and put comma. She knows I cannot beat her for buying a ring and I have the money. So she can as well edit the comma and put exclamation mark at the end. Or she can as well just put a full stop at the end. No price too high. So it's either no, the price is too high. You say that's it. That's it. Or there's no price too high now. But you know, there are some times when you are under pressure in the meeting, you don't know which answer to give and what to give. It's not even, when you see $50,000, your mind will not be thinking rainbow.
18 million.
Our Nigerians have converted it. 18 million naira. Do you understand the point? You see why we're investigating scriptures? See another example. Jesus on the cross, he had two thieves, one at the left and one at the right. Which of them told him that remember me in paradise? I'm coming now, why are you going that? The thief at the... Which of the...
Mommy, I'll help these people.
Yeah? Which of the thieves, is it the one at the left or right that asked Jesus to remember me in paradise? But remember, we grew up learning that, oh, and Jesus was on the cross with two thieves, and the one at the right-hand side said to him, Lord, remember me in paradise. What Bible says the right hand? Yeah, the same way no Bible says Adam ate an apple. Okay, think about it again. Jesus now gave a reply. What did he say? Today I'll be with you. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, a comma can change the meaning of that statement. Look at it though. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's what he said. Think about it. That was the first day of Jesus' crucifixion. That means he had two more days to go into the tomb. So when he said today you will be with me in paradise, if you put the comma after today, the meaning of that statement will change if you put the statement with full stop. If you say today you will be with me in paradise, it simply means that I'm talking to today. Today is Sunday, you will be with me in paradise. If you put a comma after the today, it will be that today I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. What does that mean? I'm simply, look at it. Today, oh, okay, you've gotten it too. Yeah? Today, you will be with me. Today, I say to you, look at it though. Today, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. That would mean I'm saying to you that on this Sunday day today, that's where you will be with me today in paradise. If you put a comma after today, it is today I'm saying to you that you will be with me in paradise, but I don't tell you the time you will be with me in paradise. Can you see how important it is to start to investigate scripture? So, see, don't be a monk. Like, I just go to a place where I just dance away my sorrow and dance away my life and just sweat. I like to sweat for the Lord Most High. You know, I sweat. I just like, and you know, I'm just, no. Look at, all we just did was to just show simple English we've learned almost for the most of our lives. If you are saying it, Jesus is saying, it's today you'll be with me in paradise. But that was the first day before he went to the tomb for 3 days. Before he now resurrected and taught for 40 days. That should tell you, we should go back and look at that today. What was he speaking about? Have you learned something here this morning? Have you learned something here this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, I ask your neighbor, are you learning something? Yeah, that's not rhetorical. Are you learning something? Beautiful. So summarily, we can say that the Old Testament books are considered as Christ concealed. This is where we ended last week. Christ concealed. Remember that, right? Yeah. Old Testament books can be considered as Christ concealed, and New Testament books is considered as what? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. That means that the Old Testament books wrote about Christ, but it wasn't clear that it was Christ that they were speaking about. But now that we have New Testament books, we see clearly that what the Old Testament books spoke about who? Christ. Yeah, we saw an example in Acts 8 verse 35 when the eunuch asked about when the eunuch rather asked about who Isaiah spoke about. Remember that scripture? Acts chapter 8 verse 35. Write this down also in your notes. This now, you know, remember we've divided Old Testament books and New Testament books, but there's something important I wanted to write about the New Testament books. Do you know what you call the synoptic gospels? What are the synoptic gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Why did you stop at Luke? Oh, so that's English now. So that means it's safer for us to say the four gospels. That's a good correction, right? Did you understand what I was trying to say? So we cannot call Genesis, we need to also confirm that, you know, but what he said is that we cannot call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as synoptic gospels, because synoptic, as I talked about, in comparison to. But the book of John did not write a lot of things that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not write. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, actually, we've learned something, right? Yeah, have we learned something? So to stay safer, we can say that the four gospels is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that's the correction you should never forget. Is that true?
Yes.
You see what happened? He made a correction. He could explain. Did you hear him saying, Baba, 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 prophet? I heard the Baba prophet. Don't be a believer that always answers questions people, my pastor said. No. It shows what you are. Don't go off of evangelism and say, Yeah, so that's the point. Don't forget that correction. The synoptic gospel, synoptic as an English word, would mean things that are said in comparison. So you can call synoptic gospel to Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yeah, but you not add John. But when you say the four gospels, that will talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yeah, that's beautiful. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are scriptures that speak about the physical things that happened to Christ. Is that true? What I mean is that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus was walking like a man. So write this down in your notes. The four gospels are writings about the things that happened to Christ. The four gospels are writings about the things that happened to Christ. They show us the physical life of Christ. The four gospels are writings about the things that happened to Christ. They show us the physical life of Christ. While the epistles are writings that shows us the things that happened in Christ. You see the difference? The four gospels are writings about the things that happened to Christ, showing us this physical life, while the epistles show us the things that happened in Christ. The four gospels are writings about the things that happened to Christ. They show us about his physical life, how he slept, how he walked around, how he performed miracles as a man. While the epistles, that is the writers of the letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Romans, Timothy and all of that, yeah? They are letters, they are writings that shows us the things that happened in Christ. Yeah, so can we call the four gospels as pictures of Christ and the epistles as x-rays? Does it make sense? Yeah, does it make sense? A picture is showing, if I take a picture of you with a camera, I'm showing the physical attributes of you. If I take an x-ray with a, what do you call that? Who's the doctor here? Yeah? What do you call that camera, that thing that they used to view x-ray? People's bone. Hemoglobin. Yeah, so we can just call it x-ray monitor. All I'm looking for is a name that is called, that you give to that machine that makes me see inside our body. No, inside his body. That doesn't change. I changed a lot too. Don't know when we hear this message now. Say, pastor is, we call some people forensic prophets. You know, we call forensic prophets. Yeah. So you see, we call them picture. We can call the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which we call the four gospels, the physical things that happened to Jesus. But the extras are the things that what were happening inside. So the things that now happen to us in the believer in Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, so remember, we established that all that the apostles and Jesus had access to was the Old Testament scripture, which is Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, we established that. We saw that Jesus taught from scriptures. Is that true? Did Jesus teach from scriptures?
Yes.
Yeah. Did the apostles teach from scriptures? Yeah. Did they begin at Moses? Yeah. They began at Moses and ended where?
That's safer to say. All the prophets, right?
Yeah. You know, someone asked a question yesterday in the meeting. Asked about tithing. Remember that question? Yeah. So if we say that scriptures point to Christ and salvation, what would that mean? To me, it simply mean that tithing too points to salvation. Is that true? Okay, yeah. So it should mean that tithing points to Christ. Okay, yeah. So we're dealing with that on Wednesdays. Yeah, come on Wednesdays. Scriptures point to Christ. Yeah? Let's quickly see. Remember, look at Psalm 118, verse 20 or 22. Can we read verse 22 together? 1, 2, 3, go. The stone the builder refused has become the chief corner. Yeah? Are you that stone? Yeah? I'm that stone that my family turned their back to. And we show them. See, as believers, we are not called to show them. We are called to show love. We are not called to see. We are not called to oppress. We are not called to show them. I will show them. Let my left leg touch the city. They will know.
Nah.
That I am that stone that they thought nothing good will come out from me. See, okay, before you continue, go to Colossians 2, verse 8. If you have NLT translation, I will appreciate you very much. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Anybody that has NLT, let me see. I think Sister Esther, you should have, right? That's NLT. I know your Bible even more than you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Is that your Bible? Is that your Bible? Okay, is that on the screen? Let's read Colossians 2, verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Brother Steve, do we have NLT? Okay, so I'm going to read NLT for you. You have NLT in your Bible? Yeah? Can you see something like HSN? You will not see it, but when I show you, you see it. It's HSN. Just read that verse 8. Oh, you got it. Yeah, let me read Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Let me say it again. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers. So, Paul, that said, preach the truth in love. He still says when people are saying high-sounding... Do you know what it is to say high-sounding nonsense? It means that you are... Let me help you. Let me help you. It means that your nonsense is producing a sound and the sound is high. A good way to say it, high-sounded nonsense. Don't let people deceive you with empty philosophies of human thinking. High-sounding nonsense, HSN. Yeah? Sometimes, I mean, don't try it, but sometimes, somebody just says nonsense, just say HSN. He will not interpret it. He will be looking for the translation. Holy study Bible, holy. He will look for it. He will not see it. That means people who say high-sounding nonsense. You see, the reason why we are hard on the truth is because it has taken us years to learn high-sounding nonsense. It takes another years and months to unlearn those things. You can teach someone one truth. Look at Jesus. Lord and Savior did the same. He taught for 40 days. The first question they asked him, apostles, their greatest grandfather in doctrine, they were asking him questions on politics. Apostle. See, don't be deceived by empty philosophies of human thinking. The wisdom of God is not the wisdom of men. Write that on your notes. The wisdom of God is not the wisdom of men. It might sound wise, but it's high-sounding nonsense. You know what nonsense means? The Greek word for nonsense? Yeah, nonsense. So, We want to raise believers in God's palace that for every statement that is made, they take a step back and revisit. Not double tap, retweet. Not double tap, repost. Not double tap, like. See, I'm not even careful nowadays that if you post a picture and write nonsense below, I don't like your picture. Because somebody can see my name and think I approved your writing, not your picture. So I'm always careful what you write. This is the Lord's doing. It pays to serve the Lord. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies of and vain deceits. Yeah? To defeat the devil, you have to be on your feet from your seat. And put him on his feet. Even in the pit. You see, that's why I say a lot of all these preach, pastor. It validates high-sounding nonsense. There are a lot of things that people have said preach to me. Yeah? And because I saw people say preach, it sank more in my head. The next time they invited me, I started from that example. I'm not telling you. Remember one example I was touching about the image of God? I was using slippers and mirror to explain. I said, a mirror. Slippers and mirror. Slippers and mirror. And in my head, I was doing good. I was doing well. In my head. See, the reason why I'm loud on the gospel is because I know what it takes to unlearn what we've learned for most of our lives. We have people that have spent 30 years in ministry. You know, there's a major bishop in Nigeria. I respect him for that. He has been in ministry for about 30-something years, or 40 years in ministry. He had thousands of people as crowd, had branches everywhere in the UK, in the US, in Nigeria, all over Nigeria cities. He heard the gospel for the first time 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and he came out to his church and said, "Members of God, I apologize to you all. I've been teaching you all nonsense." The church divided and splitted in less than half. I know the same pastor that did the same thing in Ghana. His church of close to 1,000 turned to 30. That's why we say pray for boldness. That alone is discouraging. Someone that has been in ministry for 30 years, you've seen people. You've seen people healed. You know, you've not seen somebody healed, it's better. But you've seen things heal people. It's not easy to take the truth. That's humility. Make sure when you're meeting the person, you have what to explain to. Imagine you go for a physics class. Your lecturer tells you Ohm's law states that this. You stand up and you say, "Sir, you are wrong." He now says, "Okay, explain." Now says, "Sir, I just know you are wrong. You see, there's a problem." Explain. "Sir, I just know you are wrong." What you're really saying is that the law is saying, you're not saying the law is saying it's wrong. You are saying his personality is wrong. Explain. Sir, I might not be able to catch you cannot catch your leg to explain something. Simplicity of God's word, that is humility. When the truth of God's word tears you to the face and you humble yourself, I've been wrong all my life. You know, that's one thing I respect my father for. Yeah, he heard the gospel after from an Islam background. He went into the major churches, started the major churches, did everything, did the most. Some miracles, I saw him operate in 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 of them, easily. He heard the gospel a few years ago, and every day he came here to preach, his statement remained always the same. "People of God, I'm in a season of unlearning, no, please bear with me." Is that true or not? "I'm in a season of unlearning, no, please bear with me. There are some things I'm still trying to unlearn." And I saw my dad preach the gospel, I was happy. That's what encourages me. It is his boldness that encourages me. I want my boldness to encourage somebody else. It was his boldness. He came out and said he had been in ministry since the early 90s. Is that not true? Or mid 90s? After 20-something years, he came out and said, "What I've learned." It was his boldness that pushed me to. That's why I'm encouraging you. But humility is that cry. You know, I told you, I laughed at myself the day I saw my notes from SS2 in 2012 or 2013. Me. Just like this, I had a personal iPad. I downloaded a special app. I didn't use notes. You know, notes on iPad. I didn't use notes. Notes is for commoners. Now there's a special app. It's called iDo Notepad. It has password. You can check your Apple Store. You can put password. You know what I was doing? All the special. I titled one of the folder "Rema from the Throne of Grace." And I put the password to it. You know why I put password? I don't want people to steal my rema. I'm talking of myself here. Then I was listening to nothing less than 20, 30 pastors. If you want to be confused, if you want to know a confused person, ask them how many preachers they listen to. I listen to 5, I listen to 10, I listen to 20. Why listen to 20 preachers? I want balance. I want to take ministry from here, doctrine from here, healing from here. I want to, everything should be balanced. I was right. If you see my nonsense, I was right. My nonsense, me. Nobody wrote nonsense up to me that I know of. I looked at the two, I'm like, this is the same meal. All those, if we do those things, all of you will be bamboozled. If you all those things, if you do those things for you, I tell you, you'll be bamboozled. We know them. It's not hard. Is it not English? Say if I go to the internet and say, please give me all the words that end with ITY, ET. If I say give me all the words that end with ET, they will give me 500 words. It's not for me to use common sense. I know I can use ability and capability. Your capability and the ability, won't you be bamboozled? See, there are some men that teach sound doctrine in pidgin. They are sounder than those that speak eloquence. You know, I said something last week. Eloquence is not sound doctrine. That you speak fluently is not sound doctrine. Yeah, you know, we didn't know. We thank God we know now. Yeah, but the truth remains that ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. But ignorance is tolerated. That's why all this nursery school fight, they now say, but I have results. Results are not proofs you are doing what God asks you to do. Yeah? It's nothing to brag about. The power of God is real to people, to real to us. Yeah, yeah. So you see, we are to investigate scriptures to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, remember, it was high-sounding nonsense that took me there. Is that true? Yeah? HSN. So, Psalms 118. Go back to that's where we were. So, it will mean that we can consider high-sounding nonsense to be an interpretation or wrong interpretation of scriptures. Remember, it is based on tradition. See, remember, a lot of things we know in Christianity while we're growing up, it is based on what they told us. Is that true? Is that true? You see, that's why we don't really blame people. But that, look at it, that you didn't know sound doctrine. It's the same way you didn't know physics, but you made up your mind to go and study physics in university. Don't lose track here. Yeah? Yeah? When they get back, how many of you, when they get back to you, you knew how to calculate potential difference? You say, even now, you don't know. Okay, that's fine. Yeah? Yeah? How many of us, we just, as soon as they just get back to you, you say, at today? Bring the math question. Yeah, so it simply means that there was something you didn't know, which is where you were ignorant of, but you made up your mind to go to university and pay to study. That means ignorance is not an excuse for you today. Because you had the opportunity, at least you had the funds. Yeah? So ignorance is not an excuse for you today. Same thing with doctrine of Christ. Yeah? What we painstakingly do in God's palace is what a lot of Bible schools do and collect money for. But we'll do it every Sunday and Wednesday, in and out. You know, I said something, Brackenet Hagin said something. If the church does what they are supposed to do, there will not be need for Bible schools. You are going to Bible school to go and learn about it. What are you learning in your church? Bill Gates' book. Yeah? You enter a physics class, you are expected that your teacher should bring the physics textbook above you. You enter chemistry class, the same thing. You go to church. You see, your pastor will Bill Gates and Warren Buffett's textbook. Yeah, Bill Gates in chapter 8 spoke about how to 150 businesses that people don't know about. That's why you're doing all of them now. I sounding nonsense. Look at it. The stone which the builder refused is to become the headstone of the corner. Verse 23. This is the Lord's. You see, when we are teaching these things, let me admonish you. Let me admonish you. When you are hearing things that are new, if those things speak to you, if those things seems like they are talking about you, if those things seem that they are talking about you or talking to you, don't get offended if you know it is the truth. Can you hear? Are we here? Anywhere you find yourself and the pastor is saying something, and he's saying the truth, you know it is the truth, don't allow your ego make you miss out and steal from that knowledge. Don't have that mindset of pastor is speaking to me, pastor is me, pastor is an example. You know, I try as much to shift and drift away from experiences I have over the week. You know, so people don't listen to me and think it was about them. That's why there are a lot of examples you will hear me even say in church that when I listen to the recording, I cut out. That's if I lose track of myself. I mean, I'm a man. Yeah? I can lose track of myself and say certain things that I should not have said. Yeah? If I listen to you, I crop it out, you will never hear it in the recording. But when you now begin to build a ministry around it, pastor made me the subtopic today. No. So if I'm using an example from this verse and I'm saying, if there was a time in your life you had said you are the chief cornerstone, no, I'm not talking about you. Yeah, most of us are taught we're the chief cornerstone. Yeah, most of us thought we're chief cornerstone. Yeah, so the stone that was rejected, now you've gone to Abuja, you've made it. You now go to your village, December 22nd. You now go in your Toyota Corona. It's in our white. It's my own car you're looking at, man. Yeah, talking about, you better be careful. He says, see, silver color. Sometimes you even rent car to go and oppress people that don't care about you. I'll go and show them. The salary throughout the year was 15,000 every month. That doesn't mean 10 months, 150K. Plus 130K. That means 180K. You have to pay house rent. You have to buy food. Why you got that money to rent Corolla to go to that village? I don't know. You save. You have 30,000 naira left. December 1st, say, I want to show them. This is Lord's doing. Go and buy us a perfume, 100 naira. The one that they don't spray. The one that you lose the cover. The one you lose the cover to pour the oil. I'm not saying they are good, but I say this one I'm talking about is 100 naira own. I'm not saying they are not good. Yeah? So when you go to the village, they come and welcome you. Everyone will be smelling air freshener. Where is the verse you are holding on to? This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in your sight. No. David could not be talking about the Lord's doing as car. How? Was David a king? Was David a king? So can you imagine the wealth he had? Who was the father of Solomon? You know that story about Solomon. Sometimes we have lots of myths there. Solomon slept. He had a dream. He's in the dream. They asked him, what do you want? He said he wants wealth. It was not in real life they gave him wealth. Think about it. Not all of us gonna be dreaming now. Yeah, so it means we should go back and read Solomon's story. Solomon inherited a lot from his father, King David. As I say, he was wealthy. He's not. Not good, they do pass yourself before of God. It's not good. This is the Lord's doing. It's not rational. What is the next verse? This is the day which the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. No, scriptures, when it talks about day, he's not always talking about the one Sunday. When you read from Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at it in this series. When it says on the seventh day God rested, he's not saying Sunday or Saturday. What is God's rest? God's rest is for the believer to believe in his work. Simple. What is Sabbath day? If God's palace chooses to meet every Friday, it is a service day. It is a meeting day. If we meet on Sundays because all the companies in Nigeria choose not to allow people to work on Sunday, even though we have some that are negating it right now. Someone wants to come on Sunday to Sunday. So when you say this is the day which the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Think about it. What is scriptures to make you wise concerning? So let's now say, how do we know salvation? So begin to think, how do we know salvation? Okay. Salvation. How do we know salvation? Okay. Where is salvation in this? Yeah. So go to Acts 3. Remember, Acts chapter 4 rather. Remember, the New Testament books are explaining the Old Testament books. Is that true? Yeah. So go to Acts chapter 4, verse 11. Let's see verse 8. Then Peter, who is Peter? Apostle Peter, is that true? Yeah. Remember, he had done an explanation in Acts chapter 2, verse 28, when he said King David wrote about the prophet. We did that last week or 2 weeks ago. Is that true? You know, allow your holy one suffer corruption. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. So look at Apostle Peter explaining something in Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto him, ye rulers of the people and ye elders of Israel, verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, verse 10, be it known unto you all, Israel, and to all the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. So who crucified Jesus? The people of Israel. Yeah? Yeah? God was not the one involved in Christ's crucifixion. What Christ did was to surrender himself to the crucifixion by men. Look at what he says in that verse, whom he crucified, whom God what? Whom God what? So who raised Jesus from the dead? Yeah, who crucified Jesus? The people, men. Even by him doeth this man stand here before you all. Remember the conversation was that a man got healed. Is that true? Yeah, there was a man that got healed and they were trying to explain themselves. Yeah, look at verse 11. This is the stone. Now, what is that talking about? The Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead, all of these things. When he now says this is the stone, who will the stone be? Have you seen it now? Yeah. So who is the stone? This is the stone which you said not of the builder, which has become the head of corner. So Peter quoted from Psalms 118. Yeah. Yeah. Although he might have paraphrased, but can you see it's the same thing? What does verse 12 now say? Neither is there salvation in any. For there is no other name under the heavens given unto men whereby we must be saved. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, what did they see in Peter and John? Boldness. So, it simply means that if Peter was explaining from Psalm 118, verse 22, we can go back and read the context of Psalm 118, verse 22 and see Christ. Now, go back to 118, verse 22. Who did Peter say is now the chief cornerstone? Yeah, who did Peter say is not the chief cornerstone? Beautiful. So, is it the same thing that Peter was quoting? Look at the screen. Is it the same thing Peter was quoting? The stone which the builder refused has become the headstone of the corner. Look at verse 22. Will he just wake up and just say, this is the day the Lord has made? Look at verse 23 now. Will he just wake up and say, this is the Lord's doing? My mother's outside. I'll be talking about money. What is the Lord's doing? The Lord's doing is that the stone which is Christ that the people rejected, that crucified, he has become the chief cornerstone. That is the Lord's doing. It is now marvelous in our sight to behold. That's the end, though. What is the next verse? This is the day which the Lord has made, we will rejoice. We're not talking. So, what day will we be talking about? Is it the day he wrote it or the day that chief cornerstone becomes the chief cornerstone? So the day that stone that was rejected become the chief cornerstone, that is the day the Lord has made. When he say day, he's not talking about Tuesday, Monday, or Sunday. He's talking about a dispensation. So we are in that dispensation of the resurrection. So we are in that day. Are we together? So we don't come to church and say, on Sunday, I want you to talk to the Lord with your hands and you say, this day the Lord has made, we'll be glad I'm rejoicing it. No, it's not that. You can say it, fine, but don't use scripture. Don't say the scripture said in Psalm 118, no. Just say it without adding the scripture. Are we learning something? Are we learning something? Are we learning something? So, scriptures are not about you. Even if scriptures are about you, you have to find those things about you based on the person scriptures are about, which is that man Christ. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. No, don't think Sunday. But when you see, this is the day that the Lord has made. Make sure as a choir leader, you say, people of God, the day is resurrection day. We're in that day. That's fine. But when you say, we're going to thank God, our mates are in the mortuary, but you're in the sanctuary. This is the day the Lord has. No, stop insulting people. Don't insult people. Your mates are in the mortuary. Where are your own mates? You and I are talking. Where are your mates? Why are you talking to us? Why?
your mate now. Hallelujah. Look at neighbor and say investigating scriptures.
Yeah.
We would have looked at. So let's draw the note here. Write this in your notes. Ways people explain scriptures. Ways that people explain scriptures. Various ways that people explain scriptures. Number one, understanding or explaining scriptures using experiences, visions, miracles, testimonies, etc. Understanding or explaining scriptures using experiences, visions, miracles, or testimonies. Number one way is understanding or explaining scriptures using experiences, visions, miracles, testimonies, etc. Most times, people do that under the guise of the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Spirit told me personally. The Holy Spirit told me this one personally. The Holy Spirit told me that even Apostle Paul did not know. Yeah? That's trying to use your experiences to explain scriptures. So number one is understanding or explaining scriptures using experiences, visions, miracles, and testimonies. Most times, they sound soothing with lots of redeeming lines. Most times, or a lot of times, you can stick with a lot of times, they sound soothing with lots of redeeming lines, but that's what I wrote. Yeah, but Let me say it again. Understanding and explaining scriptures using experiences, visions, miracles, testimonies, etc. Most times they sound soothing with lots of redeeming lines, but Number two. Are we down with number one? Are we down with number one? Beautiful. Let me go over again quickly. Understanding or explaining scriptures using experiences, visions, miracles, testimonies, etc. Most times sound soothing with lots of redeeming lines, but a lot of times they hide under the guise of the Holy Spirit showed me this personally. While in my devotion this morning, the Holy Spirit opened. Am I saying the Holy Spirit doesn't teach people? The Holy Spirit teach. You see, that's why I say a lot of people have dreams to the degree of their knowledge. A woman that says she went to heaven and saw a woman in hellfire. When did I ask her, why did you go to hellfire? She now said because she was wearing a ring. That's the knowledge. Her mind, let me tell you, your knowledge now that you're having, now when you go and sleep and wake up, your revelation will be sound revelation. But if every Sunday you come, 15 ways to deal with the fathers of your father's house. Remember I told you, when a lazy man meets a false prophet, who suffers for it? One of the relatives in the village. If I meet you and say, this night you'll go and sleep, and the Holy Spirit will show you a flash in a trance. You see an image. It might not be clear, but ask the Holy Spirit to show you again. You see another image. You that you've had problem with your uncle. Somebody has told you, you just feel like your uncle is not welcoming and warm to you. Why won't you see him in your vision? Someone that is even doing ministry more than you. Visions, revelations are not to explain scriptures. Number two, explaining philosophies, thoughts, and cultures through scriptures. Number two way people usually do that is to explain philosophies, traditions of men, cultures, thoughts through the scriptures. Explaining philosophies, thoughts, or cultures through scriptures is usually called back it up with scriptures. Yeah? Back it up with scriptures. No, we don't back it up with scriptures. We don't back knowledge with scriptures. No, we explain. Okay, yeah, we're getting there. So you say one philosophy, one thought pattern. For instance, look at it. Have you heard people say cleanliness is next to godliness? You know it's not in the Bible. You know it's not in the Bible. How can you say cleanliness is next to godliness and say it's in the Bible? Hallelujah. Yeah, so that is philosophy of men. If you want people to be clean, just tell them to be clean. Don't say when you're about to do your devotion, Holy Spirit will come and see buttercup and nylon on the table and he will just go back because you're not clean. Holy Spirit will not tell you go and sweep. You know, have you ever heard givers never lack? You know that thing is not absolute. That's a woman that must have given a lot. You know it's not absolute. You know, give it shall be given unto you. Good measures, press that shake it together.
you actually think that I was talking about money?
Yeah, so usually called back it up with scriptures. That is, you have a belief, and to establish your point, you look for one verse or two to back yourself up. Is it clear? Yeah, yeah, I'll say it again. That means you have a belief or a system, or you have a thought system or pattern. You can use belief to establish, and to, because you want to establish your point, you look for one verse or two to back yourself up. Explaining philosophies, thoughts, traditions of men, cultures through scriptures, usually called back it up with scriptures. That simply means that you have a belief or thought pattern or thought system, and because you want to prove or establish your point, you now look for one verse or two to back it up. Yeah? Back up. Can you imagine? You are the one leading scriptures that was inspired years before you were born. These two we are spoken about have led a lot of us into error. Yeah, they've led a lot of us into error. That's what we explained earlier on. A lot of high-sounding nonsense evolved. Hallelujah. Write this down also. You know, there's a difference between eisegesis and exegesis. I'll spell that for you. Eisegesis is E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. Eisegesis is E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. Eisegesis is E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. It is the process of interpreting a text in such a way as to introduce one's own presupposition, agendas or bias, or cultural bias, traditional bias. I'll say that again. Exegesis is the process of interpreting texts in such a way as to introduce one's presuppositions, personal agendas, cultural or traditional biases. Exegesis is the process of interpreting a text in such a way as to introduce one's own presuppositions, personal agendas, cultural or traditional biases. It is commonly referred to as reading into the text. It is commonly referred to as reading into the text. That's exegesis, right? Process of interpreting text in such a way that you already introduce your presupposition, agendas or biases, traditional or cultural, is commonly referred to as readings. While the other one is exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. This involves critically explaining the text of scriptures within the confines of the text, considering the pretext, the post-text, and the text in itself. I'll say that again. This involves critically explaining the text of scriptures within the confines of the text, considering the pretext, the post-text, the text in itself, in order to avoid assumptions. Exegesis involves critically explaining the text of scriptures within the confines of the text. That means let the text explain itself. Let the text explain itself. Yeah, so exegesis is critically explaining the text of scriptures within the confines of the text, considering the pretext, the post-text, and the text in itself, in order to avoid assumptions. So the number one way we spoke about, is that a right way of interpreting scriptures? Is that a right way of interpreting scriptures? Using your, what do we call it again? Miracles, visions, testimonies. Is that true? Yeah. The second way, using philosophies, thoughts, cultural bias, is that a good way of interpreting scriptures? Is that a good way of interpreting scriptures? Yeah, you know, there are some cultural things now that we do that were not done in those days. Yeah, there are some cultural things that we do that are not done in those days. So we must understand the cultural differences that have existed over time. In as much as the truth of God's word remains the same. Are we together? Now, before we leave, let's just end on number three. The biblical or apostolic way of dividing the word of truth is explaining scriptures only with scriptures. The biblical or apostolic way of dividing the word of truth, which is explaining scriptures, is explaining scriptures with scriptures only. Scriptures are to explain scriptures only. Scriptures are to explain scriptures only. That was how the apostles explained scriptures. They explained scriptures in the confines of scriptures, explaining scriptures with scriptures. We can see that from the book of Acts. Yeah, we saw that today, Acts chapter 4. Yeah, 2 weeks ago we saw Acts chapter 2.
When you have to explain scriptures, you use scriptures to explain scriptures. For instance, in law school yesterday, what did we do? Was there any truth we established without using scriptures to explain? Was there any? No, let's hear. Was there any? There was none, right? There was none. We use scriptures to explain scriptures. Some things might not be explicitly stated, but we have some patterns to follow that will make us understand things. Why do we do this? Because the Bible was written and inspired years before you were born. The Bible is older than your great-grandfather. Is that true? How many of you, your great-grandfather here is over 2,000? Yeah? The Bible is older than you. The Bible is older than you. So, you don't have personal... This is what scripture says about this. So which is the best way to explain scriptures? Eisegesis or exegesis? I said the second one. Exegesis, yeah? What does that mean? It means that you are considering the author's thought pattern, the people he was writing to, what he was writing, and reading in context. For instance, in Romans, to understand Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or whatever chapter you want to understand, start reading the book of Romans from chapter 1. Are we together? You know, in Romans chapter 9, we see Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The answer to that question is in that scripture. Yeah? It's the same moment you see that he says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. No. The moment God can harden a man's heart, it means that that man is a robot to God. That means God has the ability to make everybody on earth saved overnight. Yeah? So we have to read in context. Yeah? So next week, we'll look at the things to hold on to while studying scriptures. Come next week prepared. We might go a little more extensive next week. I think we've used the first 3 weeks to lay a good foundation.